throw by Bledsoe, no good. Rebound to Draymond, who stumbles, almost traveled. Leads Durant with a two-on-one with Clay. Right down Broadway with a right-hand slam, and he got fouled. My goodness. That was savage.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram. With me as always, my boy and producer, Scott.
Scott here.
And a man who has attended more NBA practices than Allen Iverson, and a guy who just does not appreciate the simple excellence of Bob Costas, Mr. Reggie Simmons.
Oh, but I do appreciate the simple excellence of practice.
Fair enough. I mean, I feel like you pseudo-insulted Bob Costas, but I don't want to bury the lead. Let me start here. Your Portland Trailblazers looked really good last night, man. Good call on that.
Well, I mean, they played the best team in the league.
That's the only excuse you'd want to say you may have been wrong, kind of wrong on any of those?
No, Portland's fantastic. Did you see them just coming at the Warriors in waves?
What I saw was
and they're injured right now.
Portland looked terrible, but not as bad as Klay Thompson, which makes you wrong on two things in one night. I mean, I kept thinking that over
Klay
and over
Thompson
again.
Is the second best player in the league, and Portland is awesome.
Let's jump right into the Insider's Report, and here's where I want to start. After the Spurs loss, we all started talking about chemistry, and the Warriors did too, and what they said is that they wanted to use this road trip that they just finished 3-0 on as an opportunity to actually build some chemistry. And looks like they were successful. They just had the best quarter that we've seen in a very young season against your terrible Portland Trailblazers just last night. We'll talk about the advancements they made on the court. Let's start off of it, yeah? And I want you to use your insider's knowledge. How much time do these guys spend together on an actual road trip?
A ton. It's one of the things that I think actually Travis Schlink does really well. He gets to do the preseason schedule. And one of the things that he's done the past few years is given the team a little bit of time in Southern California. Often it's Santa Monica. And they'll have short practices. They'll cancel the second practice and they'll hang out on the beach and just be together. This team group chats together. They end up watching football games in their own rooms but chatting with each other. So they're always spending time together.
Pause you for a second. Let me make sure I'm understanding exactly what you're saying. Does the front office literally spend time figuring out how to create moments when these guys interact and start to get to know each other?
Absolutely. And they've talked about a number of things. Don Nelson used to take them to Hawaii, obviously. This group has talked about spending the entire training camp in Napa so that they have kind of that football vibe where they're in basically dorms and hotel rooms and they spend time together that way. So they seek this out. This spot they have in Santa Monica is perfect for it because there's nothing else to do except go to the beach and hang out with your buddies.
Is there, and I'll keep it personal, when I used to hang out on the team I was in way the hell back, you know, in like intramurals in college or in high school, we all hung out together, but there's still cliques. You know, there's people who I felt more comfortable with, and because of that, we didn't necessarily build a team dynamic as much as I would strengthen relationships I already kind of had within the unit.
Yeah.
For the Warriors, are they, I mean, is this like the Swiss Family Robinson? Like, are they all like skipping around having fun together, or is there kind of little divisions?
Yeah, no, I think it is closer to that, where they're arm in arm skipping around together, and
really?
It's like 12 or 15 guys show up for a dinner.
I think I was looking for Family Von Trapp, by the way, not the Swiss Family Robinson.
It's absurd that this many guys show up for an event that, like, Draymond group chats at 7 o'clock, and then at 7:30 they're all down in the lobby ready to go. But what makes all of this run is, on most teams, there's a separation between the married players and the non-married players.
Sure.
And that's the biggest click, right? Like, some go out and have fun,
yeah,
some go out with the wives.
Good use of the word fun.
Yeah. with the Warriors, that click doesn't seem to happen because Steph and Draymond are so close. Wherever they're going, that's where the rest of the team is going.
Yeah, okay.
Although I saw after that Phoenix game, I think Durant, Draymond, and maybe Clay were out there at the club, and I didn't see
none of them married. Yeah.
And I didn't see any Steph Curry. So I don't know. Maybe it's different on the road. I don't know. That's when I would think Steph would be out
there. Well, and Aisha had just gotten back from East Coast starting her new show, so Steph might have had some responsibilities.
Also, I think this is Bill Simmons, who I'm stealing it from, but he made an analogy to Kevin Durant, like the bubble boy getting out of the bubble. Like, he's left Oklahoma City, and now it's like, my God, there's clubs like this? Like, what's
this
out
stuff
here?
Happens?
You know, exactly, exactly right. I will tip my hand at everybody out there already knows how crazy neurotic I am. Here's a new chapter for that in particular book. If I go to a party, even if it's not mine, I have a weird feeling that I'm responsible for everybody's good time. I'll go around to different like groups and try to talk to them and tap dance and move over to other people. And it makes me feel awkward if people seem to be left out. Is there anybody on the Warriors who acts as that kind of like unnecessary unifying force who will bring somebody like David West in or something like that to make sure that they're participating?
I think on accident, Steph does it. He's so likable that you'll remember during his rookie year, Don Nelson used to call it Curry's Boys because all the people wanted to know where was he going? Where are we going?
Because you mentioned that at least once an episode, which I enjoy.
Sometimes the listeners don't remember, or like me, they don't listen. So
that's not funny, and I don't know why.
I think that was the first time I've ever heard that. Seriously.
Yeah, my God.
There it is. So I think on accident he does it, but it's not a performance, just who he is. There are guys like Livingston and Iguodala, like if they see a rookie being left out of something, they'll go out of their way. There was a time during Festus Ezeli's rookie year where he wasn't sleeping well and he wasn't taking advantage of the trainers and the staff and the medical staff that they had. And David Lee went to him and said, hey, man, we've got all these things. So some of the veterans do those kind of things. But when it comes to going out, I think everybody wants to be where Steph is.
Is the woman who pops her collar and is there, is she in charge of also sleep training then? What?
No, they believe so much in this that they have a specialist for that who's come in. And, you know, Andre Iguodala is the biggest supporter of it in the world. He says that that's why they won the championship.
I am virtually positive that the woman with the pop collar could fight both Tony Allen and David West at the same time.
While massaging Stephen Curry's left shoulder.
She is legitimately intimidating. Putting all this stuff towards an area I'm sure we all care a little bit more about. If they are getting to hang out, they are spending this time, the front office is making sure it goes down, does it, in your opinion, translate to on-court success?
It does, and there's actually analytics for this.
Good knowledge.
Yeah, again, I'll...
Do they call it Curry's Boys?
No.
No, they don't.
Okay. Again, I'll call out Travis Schlink for being awesome on this, and Kirk Lakeup is on it as well. Years ago, the Warriors started high-fiving each other after free throws, and they found that the more you touch, the teams that touch more win more. And it's a simple analytic. And it's weird with the Warriors now because four guys come in after every free throw. Klay never does, but there's always a point. Or Stephen Curry gives him a three sign. You know, everybody has some sign where it's kind of like a long distance touch for them. So they're still touching a little bit, but the Warriors are on top of the analytics of touching, spending time together, anything that will make them better.
Let the record reflect, I just put my hand up to give Rusty a high five and it completely ignored me.
Denied it.
Which is just scandalous. I mean, there's numbers that show that we'd be better today.
I don't like touching
people. It's just completely wrong. I'm going to call Travis and have him set a little time aside for us.
Oh, I hug Travis, but we're different.
Let's talk about what we've seen on the court, gentlemen. They obviously finished the trip 3-0. First couple wins I wasn't that impressed with. Last one I was. Let's start good things. Let's be optimistic. What things stuck out to you guys that suggest the Warriors are turning the corner?
They played defense, and they talked on defense. To me, that's the biggest thing they lost in Andrew Bogut. One, the rim protection, but two, the backline communication. And I think Dame Lillard did the Warriors a huge favor when he called out the fact that they don't have Bogut anymore. Yep. Because Draymond Green was possessed, and he was talking on the back line, and that made everybody else talk. And if they're going to play this amoeba zone defense where they're all switching all the time, they have to communicate. They have to feel each other, and they're getting closer to that. They're a long way away, but they're getting closer.
Did you see Draymond's quote about that? He said, I love it when people talk mess like that. It gets me all fired up. And he also said, I exchanged like 50 to 60 high fives right before I played defense that day, so I bet you it really helped him out.
A lot of high fives. Remember, he only daps up Steph.
Well, it was all to Steph. Right. I mean, that's obvious. What stuck out to me, speaking of Steph, is that Steph remembered that he was Steph. For the first few games, he's had moments here or there where we see his excellence, but he also is deferring. He isn't totally sure where he fits in, which is ridiculous. This is his team. In the third quarter, what I was happy to see and was impressed with, not just his excellence, which is always eye-popping. Whenever he takes those, you know, 50-footers within 3 seconds of the shot clock, it kind of reminds you who he is. But he shook off Kevin Durant a couple times. Durant was open and with what could have been a better shot, but Steph was like, no, I'm hot. Here I go. That's what we need. We need him to recognize what his identity is, and we took a step towards that.
And I think that Steph needs to continue to sort of be the alpha male on this team, be the leader on the team. I don't, again, I'm speaking completely out of turn because I don't know Durant, but I get the sense from him he doesn't want that role.
Right.
And Steph is much better suited to fill in at that position and let Durant kind of be the Robin to the Batman.
I would agree with you, and more importantly, Steve Kerr would agree with you. And I think the third quarter showed what a master manipulator of egos that Steve Kerr is. And that is what NBA coaching is, right?
It's yeah.
Like learning sure. how to manipulate yeah. egos. And he told Steph after the first half, you played like Riley Curry, knowing that it would make him laugh,
yeah.
and said, I need Steph yeah. in the second half. Steph goes crazy. But this is the brilliance of Steve Kerr.
Shots fired at Riley, by the way. Is she not good basketball
player? He said attention span.
According to Grandpa Dell, she has great hand-eye coordination, but the shot's not there yet.
Again, good knowledge, man. Did you just make that up?
No, that's a true story. The spoon to the mouth, money. But Steve Kerr recognizes that he can get a laugh from Curry about Riley and get a point across. His message to Draymond Green would have been entirely
sure.
different.
Sure.
It would have been cussing and I'm in your face and all kinds of different things.
It's the point you made about Draymond. You
yeah.
said a very good leader knows when to slap and when
yep.
to support,
yep.
right? And that's exactly what the hell Kerr is. Backing up a couple of points, the first a foundational one. For those who can't see this, in fact, anybody who's not Scott and I, Rusty has the worst face sunburn I've ever seen in my life. I can feel the heat radiating off of your face. This apartment is already a million degrees.
I need aloe desperately.
You need like hospital care. I'm taking you immediately to the emergency room after this. Going to Kevin Durant, I also don't know Durant, but if he wanted to be the alpha dog, this wouldn't be the team
right.
he would have joined. You know,
right.
I mean, he could have gone to a lot of places where he would have been the main dude. So I think we can make that guess and then transitioning into what Durant's shown. In three games, Durant has already shown more athleticism than I've ever seen any player in a Warriors jersey at any point
yeah.
ever. And just like weird flashes out of nowhere. He had the dunk at the end of the Phoenix first half where mm-hmm. he covered the full length of the court, 90 feet in like four steps, it
right.
looked like. He had moments where he crossed up Anthony Davis and then dipped on him. And then another side where he would block Davis on the three-point land and then make up the full distance to go the other side. I have never seen a mix of height and speed like that.
Yeah.
I mean, how the hell do you guard that, man? What are you supposed to do?
And we've always wondered what Steph would do with an open floor athlete. We've seen him make tremendous lobs from half court, from beyond half court, to guys who weren't great athletes. What can he do now with this? Like, we've seen Draymond throw it in these first four games, throw it 10 feet over Kevin Durant,
yep.
but it's because they know there's something there. Like, there's something exciting that they get to play with. They've never had that before.
We also saw the scary potential of this team. So they Portland's a good team. All crap aside, Portland is a very good young team who's motivated to beat the Warriors. Not as good as you just use your vocal inflection to suggest.
Let me say this again. They come at you in waves.
Yeah, okay.
Brother.
They're not that good. But what I will tell you is that the Warriors literally had one good quarter. Really one good quarter.
Yeah.
Ian Clark helped them get through the first half. They kind of skated through the fourth. It was one good quarter, and they took a good team and beat the hell out of them. This team is 10 games away from being scary good, and what it's looking like is a half-built Terminator already dominating. You know, we're watching the sausage be made, but it's successful.
It'll be interesting to see if they ever turn into that, because I thought most of last year, during this record-setting regular season, that they would play 6-8 minute brilliant stretches, and the rest of the time they just kind of loafed around and
yep.
were more talented. So, do they go from that? I mean, that's going to win.
Yep.
Do they go from that to becoming killers,
right.
to becoming assassins, to becoming Terminators? I don't know.
No, that's fair.
You guys aren't worried about Clay at all?
Okay.
I mean, this guy
no.
can't
Which,
make
let's,
it.
Let's go to bed. I am. Okay, wait a minute. I'll add a little bit of background that shouldn't matter, but it does. I drafted him in a fantasy basketball league in a second round, principally because you just gushed over him.
He's the second
best
thing. Player in the NBA.
So I have a little bit of built-up personal angst.
In
but,
fantasy basketball, do they count defense?
Kind of, but not enough to make up the terribleness that he's done. He is currently 3 for 28 from deep this season, went 0 for 7 from 3 versus Portland, and had a sequence where he got blocked not once, not
yeah.
twice, but three times in a row in the space yeah. of maybe 25 seconds.
And zero fouls
okay.
on those.
What's happening? Why is this happening?
He's exhausted.
From what? This is 4 games into the season.
He played all summer, logged more minutes on the... He went to back-to-back championships where he logged the most minutes... Chased around point guards, also had to fill the offensive load. went this summer, played the most minutes. He's exhausted.
So why aren't you worried about him? Like
exactly
I am?
Right. How's he not going to take time off now?
Because this happens every year to him. He goes through these stretches where his legs are tired, and when he doesn't have his legs, he can't shoot.
How does he get his legs back during an NBA season?
He'll sit out a couple of practices.
You think that'll actually happen? Why is this not happening to Draymond? Because he didn't play the same minutes in the Olympics?
Yeah, because they don't want him to shoot. They don't want him to get his legs back.
the other bad thing...
You're not going to get on board with any trade Clay rumors that are going
to happen? Oh, no. My God. The old school. Do you remember, just to make sure, because you don't go as far back maybe as you should in the huddle, Scotty hates Clay. He was big on Danny Green for Clay.
Oh, my
big
goodness.
On Danny Green for Clay. Now... It is also possible that the same guy who gave him ecstasy before the first game is, you know, is now giving him some kind of like hate drug here. But just keep that in mind. And no, I'm not with any kind of trade Clay rumors, and have heard none of them.
Somebody from Boston emailed me the other day and said,
"Trade Clay?
Do you think that they would take the Cal kid, the terrible Jaylen Brown number 3 pick, and a first round pick next year for Clay?"
Of course not.
I just laughed. I mean, yeah. No.
Of course not. What you don't know is that Scott just tried to reach out and give you a high five as well.
You like that? You wanted that trade?
You also wouldn't do that. I mean, would it be there? Does it matter? I was going to say, would it be like the Brooklyn pick? But does it really matter?
No, it doesn't matter.
He looked so out of it. Like, he just is sulking
That's
around.
That's how he always looks.
They had him in with the scrubs last night in the fourth quarter trying to start him up, and he still couldn't
still
hit
couldn't
a shot.
Get it going.
He just kept destroying my field goal percentage, and I'm screaming at the television. It was the opposite thing
they need to do. He needs to stop running.
Over under tomorrow night against the Thunder, 18 points for Clay.
Over.
No, I will bet you a meal that I'm actually saying this is an actual bet. I know you don't really know how bets work. I'm actually betting you that he will go under 18 points.
Okay.
All right. It's a bet. The other down thing, even though they've won, even though they had success against Portland, you know what they're missing, at least I think they're missing, is the joy. They were not just beating people during that 73-win season, man. They were beating people and then barnstorming. They were having the time of their lives to the point where it was driving people crazy. Here, it's not like that. They have moments where they get excited for each other. It's not that they dislike each other, but there's not the same kind of infectious excitement that's coming. And I think a portion of that is they don't have the same bench guys. Barbosa guy. They don't have the Kent Bazemores of the world. Yeah. They don't have any of those people. Yeah. Like people like David West and Iguodala are a little bit more businesslike. But I miss that stuff, man. Yeah. Like I there's a role for that.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, no, you hit it on the head. All the guys who are supposed to be up and screaming, and I was thinking about that exactly when you were defining the Kevin Durant plays.
Yeah,
because one of my favorite things to do, one of Steph Curry's favorite things to do, is to look back at the replay, but not watch the action, watch the bench,
yeah.
Because it used to be so much fun to watch what the Warriors were doing. This bench does nothing.
Yeah, they were very weak. Yeah. Very weak. I got to say, too, though, as far as I think why the joy isn't there, there's been times where I played on a pickup team where you just end up with clearly the best players on your team are on the court or on your team, you think you're just going to like demolish the competition, and it ends up being a close game.
Yeah.
You get frustrated. You're trying to figure out what the hell is going on. We're playing against terrible people. We are so much better.
Right.
And I'm just seeing some of that in Curry and Clay and Draymond's reaction, where they're like, I was expecting 40-point blowout, and it's not happening.
It's like the starter scrimmaging against the Mets. You know, and if you win that by 5, you can't be so excited about it. And also, this is something I'm stealing from Kerr, but Kerr said they're getting open shots, but they're not getting rhythm shots. And there's a huge difference.
Absolutely.
And because there's a momentum involved with joy. There's a momentum involved in that kind of showboating. And it's having 3-4 unbelievable plays that, you know, 5 people touch the ball before it goes to an alley. You can't help yourself. Even people like David West would jump off the bench for that. You know, and we're not getting those.
And it's a reward for all the hard work. Like Steve Kerr puts them through fundamental drills, and he constantly tells them to cut off the ball, cut off the ball, cut off the ball, cut off the ball. And when they finally do it in the game and the cut works and they get a pass and they get a layup, there should be some joy because there's the reward finally for all the work.
Right. You know what,
maybe we'll see that. Maybe they haven't done it enough for it to matter.
What percentage are they right now towards their ultimate potential? Whom this team can ultimately be? How far along are they? 10%, 5%,
50%? 11%.
11%. That sounds analytic.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, that's 11%. Scotty, what do you think?
I think 5.
It's really that early? Do you guys really think that? It's small?
I really do. I think they are going to be so good once they have more time to play with each other.
I feel like a little further along than that. I guess this is kind of a silly question. I'll go 20%. You know what that reminds me of? Do you know what Don Nelson used to call the team when Curry first started? Curry's boys.
No, it wasn't what he called it.
It wasn't. No. Oh, well. Oh,
but you got off. Part. He did say Curry's boys. It's just not what you're referring to.
Maybe I'm a little bit off. Let's move over to the Warriors' focus. And I've got an interesting slant. We've got some young people on this team who are probably going to play some pretty serious minutes. A lot of people who casual and maybe even more than casual fan doesn't necessarily know. So I spent a little bit of time talking about them. And who I'm talking about, Damon Jones, Patrick McCaw, Kevon Looney.
Please, yeah, say it right.
I could tell it. You were getting all excited to give me crap about that. Let's start this way. Of those three, who do you expect to actually have an impact this year?
I would start with Kevon Looney.
I said that excellently.
I know they have seven centers on the team, but to me, he's the longest, most athletic. If he can stay healthy, he can do exactly what they need, which is rim protect, rebound. He knows his place. He sets screens. He can pick up junk points. He's a better passer than I thought. I know he can shoot. I think he's a little tentative to do it right now, but that can come in time.
See, David West? Best case. Is there a comparison there? I was thinking Brandon Bass, David West. Those are the people I came up with.
I see what you're doing with the physical traits. Yeah. The toughness isn't there.
For who? For Looney. Looney doesn't Looney, have that.
Yeah. Could it be an Amari
Stoudemire? He's a baby, you know?
Right. So
who knows what he's going to be?
And he's under David West.
Yeah,
now.
Who knows what he's going to be?
What about Amari Stoudemire? Could that be his upside?
I don't think he's nearly that athletic.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. How about Damian Jones? Who is he?
Well, my best story about him is that he's really into the Cartoon Network.
Why? There's no follow-up? You're just leaving it there? It's just into the Cartoon Network?
Is that like the late night Cartoon Network? Adult Swim stuff? Or
hey, do with that what you will.
You do understand that the facial expressions you're making don't translate on the radio. Well, this is not a translate. Video podcast. I feel like that's not helping at all. Finally, Pat McCaw, who everyone was remarkably excited for, but we haven't been able to see because of an ankle injury. First, tell me about his ankle. Are you okay?
He will be. Yeah, it was bad. He rolled it the worst way you can, stepping on Anthony Davis's foot. It was bad. Couldn't put any pressure on it. Swelled up, of course, because they take the flight straight from New Orleans to Phoenix. It's bad, and they're not going to take any chances with him. But there's no break in there. So that's positive. And he works his tail off. That's positive. So you know any rehab, he's going to be back quick.
Do you expect an impact from him?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because he can do everything. He's a coach's son. He can score if they need him to. He doesn't need to have the ball in his hands to impact the game. He's a defender. He already understands the defense and understands where he's supposed to be. He gets his hands in passing lanes. So he can do everything on that end. He's a passer. I like him. Yeah, he can play.
See who Iguodala compared him to? It's a kind of an old school name, and I like to hear because I hadn't said it for a while. Ron Harper.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
No.
Yeah, what is that? That's a terrible call.
That's what he said. I mean, look, it's not
Ron Harper. I think he's not this good, but he's closer to Iguodala or Scottie Pippen or one of those kind of guys than he is to Ron Harper. Ron Harper was a top scorer for the Clippers. I mean,
like a mid-range jump shooter. Yeah.
McCaw is also 6'8 and 185 pounds. My ideal weight, so I'm not at it.
His ankles are the same size as his thighs.
If I could get to the weight I would like to be, it'd be 185 pounds. I'm 6'1".
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about? 6'8", 185. You didn't actually give me a player. So give me a player who all these three people could be. Apparently, Kevon Looney cannot be Brandon Bass or David West.
No.
He can be.
You know, here's my favorite story about Kevon Looney. We hear about mental reps all the time, and it's a really hard thing, especially in basketball, to watch from the sideline but to get your work in. And while he was having his hip surgeries done, he was actually watching and taking it in. And when he was finally allowed back on the court, the Warriors were short a three-man, and he had only been watching the fours and the fives. But he knew everything the small forward was supposed to do, and he stepped straight into practice and did everything perfectly. And so that always will speak to me. I think he's a smart player. I think he's super long. So to me, he's never going to be as good as Kevin Garnett. But I see that.
I'll take that.
Smart, aggressive player, not athletic, but intense and smart and gets it.
We have a segment coming that we're not going to do today because we've got a lot on the table called Getting to Know You, where we'll get into all of these new people with a little bit more depth. So for now, let me just ask you this. Of the new people on the team, focusing on those three, who do you expect to actually make an impact, and do we need an impact from any of these players to actually be a title team?
This year, I would say Looney, and I think they're going to need it. Down the road, I would say McCaw. I would put no ceiling on this guy. I know that off the bat, I say he's not as good as Pippen or Iguodala, but this dude's work ethic makes me wonder. He might get there. At his opening press conference, he talked about wearing the number zero, and that takes some guts to wear that number.
Did Ron Harper wear that for a while?
No. But he talked about how he has no doubts, and a lot of it was religiously based, but it was also like, I don't have any doubts in myself, yeah. And you could feel that, and you're looking at this spindly dude who doesn't fit into the NBA, and he had no doubts.
When was that?
Right after the draft, so okay. It was early July.
Because, and this is an unnecessary shot, and I believe in his potential and really like him, but I'll tell you what, you know when he looked like he had some doubts? When he was playing against San Antonio and missed the three shots he had and looked a little bit nervous on the big stage.
But wouldn't you?
It's his first game. Yeah. Of course, I was nervous just being in the building. I couldn't handle any of that, but I also wouldn't have the balls to wear the number zero. So there's
or wear a headband when nobody else on your team does. You know what I mean? Like he's got some gumption. I like him.
Is he not Ian Clark 2.0 or a poor man's Ian Clark?
He's bigger, isn't he? How tall is he?
Yeah, he's way taller, way better defender, way better passer. He can't shoot the same way, but you can shoot 1,500 shots a day. He can fix his shot. Ian's shot is always going to be from his chest, so he has to have 2 feet of separation. McCaw's a better player.
Rusty's answer there, and I only get one of these, so I'll use it now, is no. I'm not sure if you picked that up, which was solid for me.
I did not say that word.
Let's go ahead and move on. Last topic of our Insiders Report, maybe the most important. The Warriors are getting ready to play Oklahoma City tomorrow night. Yeah. It's getting a lot of national attention for obvious reasons. Kevin Durant's old team is coming to visit. Yeah. It doesn't have the same kind of vitriol and anger that it will when they go back to Oklahoma City.
Exactly.
But it is featuring Kevin Durant versus Russell Westbrook. Let's start here. What does this mean to Kevin Durant?
It means a lot. He won't say that, but it means a lot.
Why?
Because that's his franchise. That's what he knows. Of course, even if you're the one who decided to go, when you leave a team, you always pay attention to it. I remember years ago when David Lee agreed to a sign and trade deal here. It wasn't a trade, yep, as he tried to say it was. He agreed to come to the Warriors. But he would still DVR every single Knicks game because that's just the way we are. We want to know, sure, what's happening, right? And that's the same way Kevin Durant is. He has openly admitted that he's still watching Oklahoma City games. He wants to know what's going on back there. So, yeah, this means something to him.
Does it mean something to his teammates? Do they want to kind of show him, look, you made the right call. We got to beat the hell out of Oklahoma City because this is the title team. That was a waste of time.
This is where I think teams come together is the player in the moment has to, in the media, say this doesn't matter. I get ready for every game the same way. Yeah, it's going to be nice to see some of my old buddies, but I'm playing to win, and that's it, yeah, right? His teammates don't have to say that.
Yeah.
And I remember distinctly in New Orleans when Jared Jack was just given away by New Orleans, and every time he did anything in that game, Andrew Bogut stood up and said, they didn't f***ing want you. They didn't f***ing want you. And just reminded them that New Orleans didn't want Jared Jack anymore. And that is what's going to happen in the Oklahoma City Warriors game, is the Warriors around Kevin Durant are going to step up and play the games of their lives for him.
So who? Because what that quote really made me do is really miss Andrew Bogut. Really did, because I can see him doing that. Who on this squad is going to be doing that to OKC?
I mean, Steph probably won't use the same vernacular, but he's going to try to make every shot, and he's going to try to embarrass Russell Westbrook. Draymond Green will use the same vernacular, and he's going to try to dunk on everybody and hit everybody in the balls and play basketball the way he does.
How much does this mean to Westbrook?
Everything.
Does it mean more to Westbrook than it does to Kevin Durant?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because he was the one that was spurned. Yeah. He was the one that was left. Yeah.
Yeah. Why do we have to play this game? Why do they have to say it doesn't matter? Because you're right. Of course, that's what they have to do, but
it's,
I don't understand.
It's a weird thing in the media. Like, we praise them when they're honest, but then we beat up their honest quotes. Yep. You know what I mean? And so Durant can't just say, yeah, it means a lot. That's the only franchise I've ever known. Yep. Of course it means something to me, because then we'll say, well, then the other 81 don't matter.
And they'll betray him. Yep. Not only do they take those quotes and enjoy it, they then take it back and stab him in the back by handing it over to Russell Westbrook and saying, right. Oh, here, did you hear this? Right. You know, this guy's saying that he wants to beat you more than anybody else.
And the other filthy thing that can happen is, so wonder if the Warriors destroy Oklahoma City and then they go to LA, a terrible team, and they lose yep. in LA like they always do.
Yeah.
And the story is going to be, well, they put so much into that Oklahoma City game
right.
because Kevin Durant needed that game, and then they went down and lost to the Lakers.
Okay, see, that good? Am I just being ignorant? I understand that they picked up Oladipo. They just got rid of
In the NBA, Asola. You need a superstar, and they have the MVP of the league.
They're undefeated this year. That's better than the Warriors.
I saw that. Have they played anybody?
They haven't played anyone.
They've played other NBA teams.
They have. Yeah. Okay, so they're not no WNBA, nope. no collegiate nope. teams, not so far.
Other NBA teams.
Okay, and intramural teams, you know?
I don't
no,
think
not
so.
Them either. Yeah. Okay, well, that's good to know. Well, then you know what? I will take them seriously.
Yeah.
It is what it is. What's your guys' guess? I didn't have the foresight, unfortunately, to look up the spread. If I had to guess, I bet you it's Warriors minus about five and a half, six.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? What happens?
I think the Warriors went big. I think it's important to 14 guys around Kevin Durant, and they're going to make sure it happens.
I agree with you, and I think it's the kind of momentum that we really need that'll really get this thing going, coming off a big win in Portland and then using the emotion of this one to slingshot them into the success that we think they're going to have.
I'll say they lose.
Just so you can have the time of your life again.
I can totally
see. So you can come
that.
Back here and be like, I love failure. That was so fantastic.
That was such a weird take.
Oh, I don't. So many people have brought up to me, like, what was going on with Scotty? But that makes zero sense to me at all. Okay, we've waited, I don't know, it seems like months, maybe a year for this segment to actually happen. I've been bringing it up over and over again. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that Resi doesn't even know what I'm talking about, or are you up to speed here?
What, we're doing something?
Yeah, you're so terrible. We are finally going to get to Are You Smarter Than a Bandwagon Fan, our very own game show. We learned the contestants last week. Let's bring them back on now. Let's start with my guy, Josh Kramer. Josh, we got you?
I'm here.
Yeah, Josh, let me start this way. Do you feel at all bad about lying to, thousands of people about me wanting to take a Donald Foyle over Tracy McGrady or what?
All right, so yes, I do feel bad. I owe you an apology. That was there were three of us there that draft day, and I went for Dan Horn under the bus, was definitely the one that was like, yeah, Foyle, exactly what we need, shot blocking, yeah. defense. Community relations. I don't know what he said, but
I'll take your apology.
It was not you. You were the one, McGrady all the way. So I apologize.
Booyah! You can drop something about how I've always known everything about the Warriors. Save that. Save that for a little bit later on. Also, let me give you a heads up. We did a Twitter vote, and 51% of the people voted against you, Josh. They all liked Robbie Mack, who we're going to hear from for a second. How do you feel about that, man? You are the prohibitive underdog.
You know, I'm okay with that. When he said psychically, I was like, damn, that is a good choice for his least favorite Warrior. So I respect Robbie. I think he's going to do well.
Robbie, we got you out there, man?
Yep.
Yeah, our second contestant, as you guys I'm sure remember, is Mr. Robbie back. I'll start where Josh left off. I also hate Ronnie Cycling, man. That guy is a piece of shit.
I totally agree with that. I don't know who the hell he thinks he is turning me down when I'm a 7-year-old holding my hand out with a piece of paper with his damn picture on it. He won't even sign his own face. I don't appreciate it.
If Ronnie Cycling had written you a book for waiting in that line, I still would have thought he was a giant dick. I hated that guy with a deep passion. And Rusty keeps forgetting this is a podcast, but nodding your head, they don't see that, man. You have to actually say something for people to know.
Well, I think everybody would change their mind about Ronnie Cycling if they knew him now.
Well, why?
Because
what do you know about Ronnie Cycling now?
They would respect the beauty of the women that he can call to his side. And he's done a fantastic job post-NBA career.
I will use Rusty only as this transition. Robbie.
Did you say he was a DJ in Lebanon?
He did say that, and I'm not going to jump down the DJ in Lebanon rabbit hole, wherever the hell Ronnie Cycling is doing, but I will ask Robbie, Rusty talked a lot of mess last week about you breathing heavily, man. You got him on the line now.
Yeah.
You want to take any shots? I mean, that felt inappropriate.
That was brutal, brother. The wind tunnel was awful.
Well, Well, you know, I was trying to get the most authentic experience by being outside of Oracle, but, you know, it takes a lot for a person to stand behind a microphone and say something to me when he's never seen me before. So, you know, it's not that
difficult. Wow. Had you just gone up a set of stairs, or what was going on there?
Actually, I had a beer in one hand, and I had just gone off BART, so it was, you know, it's just kind of a lot of things happening at the same time.
That long walk from BART to the arena.
That's okay. Good to do. That walk across the overpass is a pain in the ass.
Even though I was worried about you dying on the spot, I picked you to win this thing, man.
And factually incorrect. You know, our conversation was taped last week, Rusty, so we all know that not to be true. Nonetheless, Robbie, good for you sticking up.
I didn't pick Robbie.
No, you definitely did
I'm
not.
I'm changing my pick.
Let the record reflect. Okay, gentlemen, before we say the rules, this is to Scott, Rusty, and I. Let's all put our final picks down now. We've had a chance to know Rusty and Josh a little bit. I'll tell you now, my vote remains the same. I've had Josh in my life a long time. Josh is who I'm taking.
Robbie came at me.
Which I liked.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a competitor. I don't know if I picked him last week or not, but I'm picking him this week.
Well, I can tell you that you did not. It was only a week ago, and it's on tape.
Yes, I did
but,
not.
Yeah, but Scotty, who are you picking up?
Robbie, you still got my vote.
Let's go. All right. That in tow, gentlemen. Here is the game. It is a trivia game, not a boring one. It is all Warriors-based. If you answer a question right, you get to move to the second question. If you answer it wrong, your turn is completely over. A couple of twists. One, you only have 30 seconds to answer each question. That's basically for the cheaters out there.
It's more than a shot clock.
It's more than 60.
Yeah.
We should have done 24. Where were you with that idea like 5 minutes ago?
I didn't even know we were playing this game.
What are you talking? We're going to stick with the 30 seconds. As I said before, Scotty's going to be on the buzzer. So if you take 31 seconds, your turn is over. And the reason we are imposing that limit is so that you cannot hop online and get these questions out. We are going backwards in time as far as knowledge. Your first question will be about this year's team. You get that one right, we'll go to last year and so on and so forth. Gentlemen, we flipped a coin. Robbie, you are up first. Any questions about the rules before we jump in?
No, sir.
All right. Josh, we're not going to hear from you for a minute. So before we put you on hold and have you sit back, anything to say to Robbie before we jump in?
No, I'm not going to talk about a Warrior fan. I was hoping to jump in and steal his questions, but...
Well, then let me be the first
I'll
to say...
I'll sit here and watch some of this baseball game.
There you go. Josh, you're a giant pussy, and you should have said something, but that is what it is. You'll never get that moment back. There you go. All right. Robbie, are you ready?
Asshole. All right. Yep.
All right. We will start with a question from this year and go. Name one of the players the Warriors drafted in the 2016 draft.
That's easy. Damon Jones.
There you go. Let's go back to just last year. Which Warriors made the 2016 All-Star team?
That would be Clay, Steph, and Dre.
What do you think, Rusty? You feeling pretty good about him so far?
Yeah, it's looking good.
He answered it pretty fast. Yeah. You feel pretty solid?
Although the Dre thing is questionable because that could be Andre Iguodala.
No, it's not.
They call him Dre. They call Draymond Green Day-Day.
Okay, Robbie, did you mean Draymond or Andre?
I meant Draymond.
There you go. Let's move to the next question. In the 2014-2015 season, how many points did Klay Thompson score in a single quarter to set the record?
I believe that was 31 points.
Wrong.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh. 30.
He's got 30 seconds. He's got 30 seconds. Work through it.
Wow. I'm second guessing myself here.
Take your time.
I want to say almost 37 points, but that sounds outrageous. Wow.
10 seconds. We need
this is making me nervous, Robbie.
You make me nervous. I think I'm going to go with 31, but now I'm second guessing myself.
Final answer, you sure?
Final answer.
It's 37. Robbie, I screamed that was the wrong answer.
I screamed
that it was the wrong answer. All right. So, Robbie's knowledge.
I didn't know if you were doing some Who Wants to Win a Millionaire shit.
And your opinion that 37 was outrageous was exactly right. That was the most amazing thing I've ever seen on a basketball court.
Well, Robbie, I've got both good news and bad news for you. Let's start with the bad news. Unfortunately enough, that ends this turn. We go over to Josh. Maybe he will screw the dog a little bit worse. We'll find out. The good news for you is that we're actually making this a double elimination tournament. So assuming that you still you still have some knowledge, you still have some interest, we will keep you in the pool. You're going to have to wait till behind the other contestants, but we will in fact hear from Robbie Mack again.
Don't sweat it, man. Josh ain't getting one right.
Oh, my boy Josh is going well. Now, before we turn the mic over to Josh, Robbie, any last things you'd like to tell Mr. Kramer?
I'd say good luck to the other contestants. Disappointing for me to blow it on such a question like that, but hey, it was fun. Hopefully, maybe here's the pooch. We'll see.
We'll get you back. Josh, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. You sound a little nervous already, man. You sure you're cool?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been working on excuses all day. I'm ready to go.
Perfect. All right. We will start with a question about this season. You ready, Scott? Let's go. Josh, name an assistant coach on this year's team.
Ron Adams.
Boom. That was for you, Scott. 2014. Yeah. Last year, name three players who came off the bench.
Iguodala, Barbosa, and Spates.
Factually correct. I'm feeling pretty good about this, gentlemen. I'm just telling you right now. It looks like I'm about to be wrong, and you guys are about to be.
I think Robbie answered the first two questions.
I'm just telling you. Just settle down. All right, now, moving on. 2014-2015 question. This right here will already put you over the top, Josh. True or false, the Warriors won the finals in 7 games?
That's false.
Bingo, exactly right. He already moves on to the next line. Let's see how far his knowledge stretches. Nonetheless, gentlemen, I'm just going to give myself a victory, just a victory lap here. Josh, nicely played, man. That's just nicely played. Going to the 2013-2014 season, name one of the assistant coaches whom Mark Jackson had thrown off the team.
Oh, Scalabrese.
Final answer?
Right?
Yeah, I mean...
No,
wow,
yeah, the kid from Boston, Scalabrese. Wow.
Josh, are you getting arrested right now? What the hell is happening in the background, man?
Hey, Southside Chicago, about to burn down tonight after this World Series.
Give us your are you locking yourself in at Scalabrini?
100% locking myself in.
Give him the name.
Okay, the name's off.
Am I wrong?
The name is off, but I feel like we need to give it to him.
The name is off, and Scalabrini was reassigned. There's only one person who was thrown off the team.
That's the same thing. Scalabrini counts, Scott, only because you were an honest person.
He was, like,
person.
Recording them in the
same lobby. Only because you're... Josh, you're not helping yourself. You're not helping yourself. Scott, what's your final call?
Okay.
You give it to him.
No, I don't think we give it to him because two things. Number one,
what?
He mispronounced the name.
Right.
Number two,
that's a huddle tradition.
Reassigned.
That's a huddle tradition, and the reassignment doesn't work. It doesn't matter.
Because they love him in Chicago. They love that guy in Chicago. What's his name? How do you say his name?
Scalabrini. Fortunately enough, Josh, we don't need to get into
the White Mamba, man. You could have just said the White Mamba.
Yeah, they love him here. They love him.
We don't need to get into any kind of controversy because you did, in fact, move beyond. So you got to the 2013-2014 season before you screwed the dog. That put you one step over Mr. Robbie Mack. Robbie, we will see you certainly in the future, but for now, the person who is smarter than a bandwagon fan is Mr. Joshua Kramer. Congrats, Josh.
No, it's me. Yeah. I got way further than that.
You're not on the game yet. Settle down. Hey, Robbie, can we expect you back? Do you want to forfeit your second loss, or are you going back in the pool?
Robbie's coming back strong.
Oh, you'll definitely find me coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we want to hear, Robbie. You've got a huge heart. I loved the intro. Pay no attention to these guys. We look forward to having you back. Josh, you will now defend your title. You've got one win under your belt, 4 more, and you've got a prize coming your way. Gentlemen, some closing words. Let's start with Robbie, since this is the last time we're going to hear from him.
Well, you know what? I second-guess myself, and I've learned here you never second-guess a Mac. So, good luck to everyone in the future, but hopefully you hear from me again and I can rise to the top.
Attaboy. And any words from the champ? Josh, what are you going to leave us with?
Man, that 37-point quarter that was the greatest thing I've ever seen in basketball. So.
Fair enough. Gentlemen,
would have got that one.
Thank you so much for your time. Josh, we'll hear from you soon, and Robbie, we'll hear from you down the line.
Sounds good.
All right,
fellas.
Really good stuff, fellas.
Huge fun, you guys, especially the game show. I felt like that went pretty well, no?
Absolutely. I think that we should now record that on the Game Show Network.
I'm pretty sure they don't want it, but I'll leave that to you. Go ahead and reach out to them. See if you can get us some kind of connect.
Can you see it like pressure, luck, no whammy,
Where do you sit as being a bandwagon fan of the Warriors?
Did you just mix like 8 or 9 game shows in with one another? I continue to be confused with the whole me screaming to Robbie that it was the wrong answer, and he said he went 31 anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, nonetheless, huge fun.
Usually
guys.
When you say something, I'm assuming it's wrong. So I understand what Robbie did there.
I'm just happy you occasionally hear me. Huge fun, you guys. True every week. Certainly true this week. Please remember, if you want to reach out to us, including if you want to get into the pool of contestants for Are You Smarter Than a Bandwagon Fan, you want to be one of the people who takes on Josh Kramer, hit us up at warriorshuddle@gmail.com or on our Twitter account, which is @warriorshuddle. For those out there who are not following us, look, I'm not a big Twitter guy. I understand if you're not on it, but we have a bunch of free stuff we give out. We have a lot of votes, those kind of things. It might be worth hopping on there. It's free, for example. So check us out. Also, Rusty has an amazing Twitter account, which can be found at...
Did you say something?
That's great. Thank you so much, Rusty.
I do want to add this. I understand that our guest on this game show next week, the challenger, is going to be somebody in the Warriors front office.
Oh, all right, that's news for everybody, including that we were doing this next week. So that's fantastic, and I guess we'll find out about that next week alongside Scott and I. Remember, also, we are on warriorsworld.net, and we're on a ton of podcasting services, including iTunes. Get out there, download,
wait,
subscribe.
Did you give them my Twitter account?
The whole nine yards. Thank you guys so much for listening. Go Warriors, and hopefully, we'll see you next week.
Good.